to Walking with God. It's so good to be able to share some short moments in a day, God's truth in bite size, so that you continue to hear God's word and be blessed in not just hearing, but doing God's word. Allow me to begin our time today by reading from Job 41, Job chapter 41, and it says this: Can you pull in the Leviathan with a fish hook, or tie down his tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through his nose, or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he keep begging you for mercy? Will he speak to you with gentle words? Will he make an agreement with you, for you to take him as your slave for life? Can you make a pet of him like a bird, or put him on a leash for your gulls? Will traders barter for him? Will they divide him up among the merchants? Can you fill his hide with harpoons, or his head with fishing spears? If you lay a hand on him, you will remember the struggle and never do it again. Any hope of subduing him is false. The mere sight of him is overpowering. No one is fierce enough to rouse him. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. As you would recall from yesterday's time together, we are now in Job 38 to 42, and we call this the epilogue, the closing to the book, and it is about God debating Job. God finally speaks and rewards Job's perseverance in waiting for him. And in this portion, it's a very strange portion. It almost sounds sarcastic, almost humiliating. But when we read it carefully in its context, as God speaks of huge animals, and at least two, the behemoth and the Leviathan, he basically says to Job, "You ever tried to catch this creature? Call this Leviathan creature. And if you tried to catch it, did you try it with a fish hook, a rope, a harpoon, a spear? And when you do catch him, Job, what will you do with such a huge creature? Will you make him a servant? Will you make him a pet for your children? Or will you simply catch him only to sell him?" The suggestions here by God are playful, almost even silly. And this is something you do not between enemies, but between friends. And so the first insight that we have here is that as God speaks into Job's plight and silence and suffering, God is being playful rather than being sarcastic or humiliating. He's in that sense like mucking around with Job, but not mocking Job. And this is so important for Job to realize, to take in. For Job to realize that in all his unjust, unrighteous suffering, God alone remains his reliable, dependable friend. That God is still on his side, that God is still for him, not against him. I remember I had a fall, I think, in primary school, and I dislocated my arm. And in the small town that I grew up with, hospital is not really reliable. There are very few doctors, and it was outside the clinic hours. So my mother, very in a panic, went to look out for the senseis. And so this Chinese sensei or medical doctor came along. Finally arrived, he looked at my arm, could see that the bone was protruding through the skin and protruding, and examined. And he said something along these lines in my dialect: "I'm now going to hurt you, but I'm not going to harm you." And then he proceeded to hurt me by moving my arm back to its proper position. How he did it, I do not know. I screamed, I shouted. It was painful, but it healed me. I think that's what's happening here. In all of God's questioning of Job, he's not out to humiliate him, but to humble him. The same way, God as Job's most reliable, dependable friend may hurt but never harm him. The question again, can you, Job, tame such wild creatures as the behemoth or Leviathan? The lesson that is pounded home in Job 41 is this. If the lesson of the first speech was, you, Job, cannot be creator, were you there when I, God, created the universe? And the answer is no. Then the lesson of the second speech in Job 41 is, as much as you cannot be creator, you cannot be ruler and judge, especially judge over me. Sometimes in our suffering, in our desperation to find an answer to our suffering, or in our desperation to end our suffering, we truly cross the line and become judge of our circumstances, or worst of all, of God. The lesson of Job, found in this second dialogue of God with him, is as much as we shouldn't cross the line to pretend to be creator, we shouldn't cross the line to be ruler and judge. Stay humble, listen to God, speak His word into the circumstances of your life. Till we meet again tomorrow, the Lord bless you and keep you. Keep walking with God. Amen.
Okay.